Tom Karkle in the WRJN News Center. Our forecast for today, it's going to be decreasing clouds and we'll have a high of about 27. Temperature-wise, Kenosha, at this hour, the reading is 20. It's 19 in Burlington, 20 in Milwaukee, 19 degrees in Racine. As the cold temperatures apparently starting to settle in now for the winter, fire officials all across Wisconsin putting out the warning on the use of space heaters. They say it's a common cause of house and apartment fires. Fire chiefs are urging people not to plug them into extension cords or to power strips. Those could overheat and that could start a fire. Also, they recommend space heaters as the only item plugged into an electrical outlet due to the power drain, and don't have anything especially flammable within about 6 feet of a space heater, in front of it or in back of it. Drug units from both the Racine and Kenosha County Sheriff's Departments got involved in a federal investigation into conspiracy for distribution of heroin, fentanyl, and cocaine. It ended yesterday with the U.S. Attorney's Office announcing that 19 people from the Milwaukee area, Chicago, and Burlington, Iowa, have been arrested, drug charges, as well as money laundering and bankruptcy fraud. The case, part of a long-term federal probe based out of Milwaukee. Items seized during the execution of search warrants included cocaine and heroin, 21 guns, 8 vehicles, and an undetermined amount of cash. Federal, state, local officers all participating. That included the Racine County Metro Drug Unit, Kenosha County's K-Dog Unit, and the Oak Creek Police Department. Racine County may soon be joining the growing list of counties suing opioid manufacturers over the growing problem in this country. The county board this week approving a first reading to a resolution that would engage outside legal counsel. Corporation counsel Michael Lansdorf telling supervisors with the executive committee that well over a third of the counties in the state have already adopted similar resolutions. Says there are mainly pros to initiating the litigation. There are some cons, but he said there could also be several benefits in the end.
A judgment in favor of Racine County and the other counties, Racine County would stand to recover financially. There's also just the pro of holding these manufacturers responsible for what part they may have played in causing or making worse this opioid epidemic that Racine County has.
Says joining the litigation does not mean that the county could not end its involvement at some point down the road. The county board will take up the resolution for a second reading and a final vote at its next meeting. Kenosha County, by the way, has already joined this litigation. 45-year-old Daniel Art is from Racine. He is facing charges of pocketing money while working at Brosman's Meat Market in Caledonia. Theft in a business setting, according to court documents. Store records were checked. The owner of the market noticed customers were picking up their orders just fine. The payments, though, were never being recorded. Surveillance video had Arndt, who was a part-time worker at the time, allegedly pocketing the money on dozens of occasions, more than $5,200 in just a one-month period. He'll be back in court next week. In Kenosha County, 14 properties held by the county for back taxes being deeded over to the city of Kenosha to allow them to be maintained and possibly redeveloped. That includes 2 vacant gas station sites and a number of commercial and residential properties. Supervisor Terry Rose pointed out the county is owed in excess of $800,000 in back taxes and assessments on these sites, and the city will not have to pay them.
If we don't do this, the properties still lie vacant. Nothing is happening to them. The amount due us keeps going up, and it's really not going to be money that we will probably ever see.
Supervisor Steve Bostrom noting 2 of the properties are in his district, including a vacant, blighted warehouse.
Quite often, let's just say those with not very good intentions in our community spend some time doing some not very nice things on this property. So I understand that the plan is to raise these properties and raise them fairly quickly and hold them for some other redaptive reuse.
Supervisor Ron Frederick pointing out the city's actually doing the county a favor by taking the properties. The resolution for the transfer of those 14 sites approved unanimously. And there appears to be some new life at the vacant Sears store in Kenosha's Pershing Plaza, which closed earlier this year. Owners of the complex looking to divide it 3 ways, removing the automotive bays that so many vehicle owners had used over the years. One of the tenants is to be a fitness center. The other 2 are apparently still being sought in terms of businesses. The Plan Commission is taking this up later on today. The commission is also scheduled to consider a conditional use permit for the former Vincent McCall building on 22nd Avenue. Bear Development proposing 60 apartments in that 109-year-old multi-story former factory building. In recent years, it's been used for a flea market. The brick exterior is going to be cleaned and repaired, existing windows replaced in their current shape and size. The Sturtevant Village Board approving a 2018 budget that did not include funding to continue bus service from the city of Racine, which the Transit and Parking Commission talked about considering some options, but deferring action for a couple of weeks. The panel had held a required public hearing on what could mean for changes to the bus system. Maybe it's just changes, maybe it's elimination of the service altogether, a couple of routes affecting the village. Cameron McKenna suggested route alterations, like going to the Amtrak station instead of cutting some of the bus routes. Meanwhile, it was Teresa Peterson saying that you make the service more available and people will use the service more in both Sturtevant and in Mount Pleasant.
You claim people don't want to ride Route 27. Well, it serves the industrial park, the Renaissance Industrial Park. Nobody ever bothered to call these businesses and say, when do your shifts end? When do your shifts start? I know for a fact that my husband works there. Either they can get out there on the bus, or they can come home on the bus, but they can't go back and forth, and it starts at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mount Pleasant Board Trustee Sunny Haven there for the meeting said that any changes ought to occur in the spring so that there's a chance to talk more about the potential on bus service and its need to get workers to their jobs.
Now, obviously, we got Goodwill coming on board. I'm not sure if they're closing the Renaissance one or not, what the situation is there. Foxconn is up and running on a small scale out in, along the interstate, so and they will increase that. And so I think we need to take a look at some of the things from Mount Pleasant standpoint. And obviously, we're concerned that we get the workers out to the businesses out there. They pay a fair amount of taxes in Mount Pleasant.
Transit Manager Mike Marley pointing out there's a state law that says the city can't provide the service to Sturtevant unless the village pays. The panel presented with options, no stops in Sturtevant, amending routes 2027 to go elsewhere, or cutting the service. Meanwhile, the transit panel did support contracts for next year for bus service in Mount Pleasant, Caledonia, and Yorkville, an 8.3% cost increase in all three. Shalom Center of Kenosha approved for an affordable housing program grant of $664,000 from the Federal Home Loan Bank of Chicago. This is to pay down a construction loan for the newly opened homeless shelter at 43rd Street and 39th Avenue. Now, ironically, this is the same grant that was denied a year ago for not meeting financial feasibility requirements. It led the community to provide enough donations to replace that funding, then combined with an $884,000 construction loan and previous donations, the Shalom Center able to begin renovations in March and move into that new facility just a few months back. In Kenosha, seven local nonprofits receiving thousands of dollars from the Green Bay Packers Foundation. Habitat for Humanity, the Kenosha Achievement Center, Racine Kenosha Community Action Agency, Shalom Center among them, the Sharing Center, Walkin' in My Shoes, the Western Kenosha Senior Citizens Council, all getting grants of between $3,000 and $10,000. This year's grant cycle focusing on organizations that looked on the elderly, homeless, and families in need. Next year, the emphasis is going to be on art, athletics, culture, and education. In Burlington, the pool project still going strong. It got past this summer, started this summer, actually, and it was doing fine, and then Reisman's Excavating and Grading found a little problem. Topsoil that had to be removed from the site, about 6 feet of it all total in depth, about $150,000 in added expense.
In order to build a building, you need to have a solid foundation. And what was underneath the building, in addition to the pool vessels themselves, were 6 feet of topsoil. And you really can't build anything on topsoil.
That's City Administrator Karina Walters telling the Council and Committee of the Whole the city took a lot of that topsoil. She noted a lot has already been accomplished regarding the pool project. The $700,000 contingency account, well, that's taken a hit, she said, by more than a third. About $1.4 million so far spent on the pool project, about $3.8 million left in the overall budget. The new facility, by the way, the council decided they're going to go with what the pool board recommended, Burlington Community Aquatic Center. WRJN.com. That is our webpage where we keep our newscast in the local news section. Also, throughout the day, at WRJN News, get you our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.